Very good. All right, we'll go to prayer in just a moment. I'm going to give you one quick verse of the day, and then we actually have a guest nugget for today. All right, so, and I'll be introducing that in just a moment. But just one quick verse, and this is not mine. Roger Cox asked me to read John 18:27. It says, "Peter then denied again, and immediately the gamecock crew." So there's your verse. Don't worry, brother, we're all feeling it. Okay. Let's forget you heard that and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. It's a beautiful day because the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you that you gave us another day of life. There's families associated with our church and our church family here that are hurting right now because of several deaths that we've had recently. And I want to pray comfort for them. I want to pray peace. Things that we, as friends, as their church family, we can't give them. We can give them our support. We can bring food. We can send cards. But that inner peace, we can't give that to them. And there's several families here that need you to walk side by side with them, step by step. Help them through these valleys they're going through. Leroy mentioned three different things happening in his family. They're going to need you to help them in these situations. Diane mentioned a praise for the granddaughter. We give you thanks for that. We pray for Brother Larry as he's still recovering from his heart surgery, but now his brother has passed away, and I want to pray comfort for him and peace for that family and bless them. Bless our class here today. Thank you for it. Thank you. We have this time set aside every week where we can come and gather around your word. Now bless our time here together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Guest nugget today is going to come from Buddy Callahan, one of our class members who just got back from a mission trip to Yap. And he's going to tell you everything you want to know about Yap and then some. But something did dawn on me that maybe even Buddy didn't know. If you take Yap, the island of Yap, if you spell it backwards, it's pay. I don't know what you make out of that, but maybe Buddy can tell us.
You're on, brother.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that either unless, you know. You're going to pay, yeah. You pay, yeah. But I guess, I don't know how many new people we got here, but I guess for the most part, most people know me over the years. But for the new people, I guess you've heard maybe it come up that I was gone or pastor brought up to pray for me on the trip. But I met these guys through Guy Altizer. And I guess most of you remember Guy Altizer and Cookie. They had that ministry called Windows of Heaven. And what they did, they'd go around all over the world, and if there was a missionary needed help in some kind of construction way, Brother Guy would put together a group of men or whatever, some women too, I guess, but he'd put together a group to try to go and help with construction, you know, like with big concrete or block work or carpentry. But that's how I met Brother Guy. Brother Guy was through. He came here one time, and the first trip was to England. I went with him, but I went with him in 2018. To Yap, there was a need there for concrete work for this school. They was talking about this school, and they needed some concrete work. So that's how I met Brother Paul and his wife, Sherry, and we'll introduce them. Maybe Dan will introduce them. I don't know. But we've put together, my daughter put together a slideshow. They've got a Facebook site. It's Faith Christian Academy, and you got to put Yap at the end of it or it won't come up. But my daughter's put together a slideshow from their posts on the site, and what it shows, it's going to show the construction from the hole in the ground, which Paul did all this. He set all this up and did it with really nothing. He's not a builder, but just Lord just put on his heart to build this school, and he just started building it, you know. But mainly with local help from the island, but and that's how I got to know him.
Let me just give a little bit of a background story. So last week, I asked Brother Buddy if he'd come and give a testimony.
Short about testimony.
You don't have to get that part of that. A brief testimony. And then one thing led to another, and he was able to have Paul and Sherry come with us today. And so all this has just kind of blossomed. As you already know, missions we take very seriously here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. All you have to do is walk down the hallway. And that's something that has been going on for years. And I believe personally that missions is the heart of God. He says in John, Christ said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." And that's the heart of what he did. For God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, missions is his heart. And so we have an opportunity this morning of not only seeing what Buddy's been up to, because he goes and he disappears so much so that we think that he left the church. and then he shows back up again. And so we're going to get a little glimpse, as to what he does when he does go on these trips. And then we're going to get to meet Paul and his wife, Sherry. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. So
go ahead.
As the slideshow shows, if there's any questions, you can ask later. My daughter, there's a song goes with it, so you just watch. But if there's any questions about anything, you know, that you see, you can ask Paul or me afterwards. So it's kind of step by step from the footings to current, you know. So when we, this last trip that we were over there, we laid tile on the floor, so it's almost finished. But, you know, so it's still, hadn't been able to go back for 3 years almost because of the COVID that shut the project down. So as you can see, you ready, Deidre? Okay. Yap. I think she's got, you got a map on here? She's kind of got a yap. It's below Japan. It's the other side of Hawaii. Honolulu is what I call it. If you go past Honolulu, it's way on past Honolulu, you know. But anyway, it's below Japan, between Japan, Guam, and the Philippines. But it's Micronesia. It's actually the Federated States. It's U.S. territory, I assume, ain't it? I mean.
Trust that was the trust territory.
Yeah. Anyway, you can watch the video.
All right. Can y'all see that over here?
Thank you.
Okay, I guess that's it. As you can see, there's a lot of concrete work and a lot of fishing goes on. The reason why there's fishing goes on is because Paul loves fishing as good as I like concrete. You know, I tell him, he said, "Mr. Bud, we need to go fishing." I said, "Well, Paul, just go on, because I, you know, you love fishing as good as I love concrete." You know, but anyway, the reason fishing is so significant is that people take fish serious. I mean, you know, like this last trip we were on, there's one where we caught a shark, and literally, do we know? When we got back home, they let Paul know that there was a death. And what they do, in order to show your respect to a family, you give them a fish. You give them some kind of fish, and then they can feed the family when they come to the house, when they're there for the wake. Then they've got food to feed the family. So that's the significance of the fish. I mean, that's what it means. I mean, it's – and the off-island people that are there, everybody's not a Yappy. I mean, there's Yap people that from the villages, but only the Yap people from the village can fish on the reef. The off-islanders can't fish. So if they fish, they have to go out the channel outside the offshore, and they spearfish. Paul's, he's got one of the few boats that's over there in which – and don't, I've got pictures of the boat. Don't think it's some big, nice cabin cruiser. It's even these bass boats that these guys got around here, you know, you'd think we're going 30 miles off island in that. I mean, you know, it's a 20-foot boat. It's a 20-foot boat, and you're 30 miles off island. You guys ever hear of the Mariana Trench that's 7 miles deep? You know, we're 7 miles of water under us, and we're in a 20-foot boat with 8 to 12-foot waves, you know. But, you know, he's God's man. So I said, okay, he knows what's going on. I'll just, you know, I'm with him. So anyway, that's if the backhoe that's on here, there were some businessmen down in Greenville donated that backhoe to the mission, and we actually put that in that container and shipped it over in a container to the island. One good story about the backhoe, this last trip when I was over there, it finally dried up enough that the road was dry out in the village enough that I could fix the road with the backhoe. And I got out that Saturday morning, was grading the road, and it looked like the Macy Day Parade. They come out with their machetes and was trimming the trees and shovels helping me, you know. And it's about, I guess, a couple miles of road that I fixed, but the whole road was just, you just had to crawl through because of the mud holes and the bumps. But it, like I say, it dried up enough I could level the road out. And it was such a blessing to the people to have the road fixed, where you could just, there was a little store on the way, and I stopped, and that woman said, "Oh," said, "thank you for fixing roads." Said, "People even quit coming to the store. They wouldn't even drive. They wouldn't come into her store because the road was so bad they didn't want to drive on the road." But her business picked up since I fixed the road. And, I mean, you know, we take good roads kind of for granted, I think, you know.
Paul wants to add something. One of those roads that he fixed the public works hadn't been down that road for 15 years. And the people were just so grateful. And then the wife of the chief passed away right after that, and the road was fixed for people to go back there. So it was huge. It was a huge blessing.
Let's do this, Brother Buddy. Let's bring Brother Paul up, and because this is what's happening here. And of course, we're just now meeting them. Brother Buddy knows these guys for years. None of us in here know who they are, where they're from, and so let's go ahead and lay down some groundwork real quick. So tell us who you are, and so we can get somewhat of a backstory. You're talking about something, and this is all right. I mean, you're in it. You've been in it. How many years have you been going to Yap?
5 years.
5 years. And how much time do you spend when you go every time, approximately?
A couple months.
A couple months each time he goes. So you were asking him how much
time. I was trying to figure out how much time he's actually been in YAP. And we think more than a year over the last 5 years. Okay. Let me just say this. When he came out there, we were in mud. I was trying to level everything with a hose and water. And he changed everything. Yeah, it was just amazing the help that he brought a laser and he just, yeah. I mean,
all right. So tell us incredible. Who you are. Let's start with who you are and how you ended up there, if
okay.
you would.
Well, so Paul and Sherry Zimmer, missionaries to YAP Micronesia, we were there. Well, how did we get there? Back in 1998, we were asked to sing for a missions conference in North Carolina. And Pastor Bill Wingard, I don't know, maybe some of you guys know them. But anyway, so he had a missions conference. We came up there and sang for that. We met a missionary to YAP whose wife had passed away. And we just talking to him, we just got the burden for YAP and began to pray about it. And I had started a roofing company at that time. And so basically then ended up just going out to YAP and checking it out and find out that God called us there. Sherry came on the survey trip. And so I think it was 99, we started deputation. And then 2001, we went to YAP Micronesia as missionaries. We started Faith Baptist Church there in the north part of the island. Joy Family Radio, and some of the pictures you saw of the radio tower, we put that tower up. That was amazing. That was 2010. In 2006, we started the radio station, but in 2010, we put up that tower, 200-foot tower. But anyway, then six kids we have, and there's a picture there. Some were born in YAP, so Sarah was born there, actually, and has a Yappy's name, so that was pretty amazing. So the land that we have for our house, that I built a house there, and now the school, but the land is in her name. From the chief gave her the name, and it comes, every name in YAP comes with land. So long story short, very quick nutshell, that's how we ended up in YAP as missionaries. My undergrad, I studied electronic engineering at electrical engineering at Bob Jones University. So once when we were there, 2007, I don't know how much you want me to say.
Keep going.
Okay,
you're
doing
good.
So in 2007, the cost of electricity was climbing because we have only diesel generation over there in YAP. So I put solar on my house and on the church, and that created this huge stir on the island to know what was happening, what that was, and all of that. And so people started coming to our house, so we started having these solar seminars. I'd tell them about, but I would always start with thoughts on light and life from the Word of God, and then talk about solar. Well, 2007 March, I had tried to go to the island of Fife, it's one of the outer islands, for ministry. You have to get permission from the chiefs in order to go out there. And my reasoning that they asked, why do you want to go? I said, evangelism, I want to teach the Bible. They said, nope, we want to stay our island religion. And so 2008, almost to the day, a year later, I was on a ship. The governor had asked if I would go to the Outer Islands and see if some of those schools and clinics could get solar power. There was some of those islands, many of them, had no power at all. There was no electricity on those islands. And so the governor had asked, would you go out and do a survey of these islands and see what it would take to put solar power at the schools and at the clinics. And so I came back, wrote the assessment and report, gave it to the governor. He sent that off to the United States, and Department of Interior funded a solar project on all of the outer islands except for one. So different, each one got solar. So then the governor came back to me and asked, hey, would you go back out? And I said, yeah, I will. And he said, what do you charge us? I said, nothing. But I need to carry Bibles and literature and all of this to those islands. So second time I went out, I was back. First time I went out, I also had Bibles and different things I gave it. But the second time out, I had a team of people trained to install the solar for the government because there was no one to install it. So I put that in, and then but that opened the gospel, the door for the gospel, because those people then, while we're at their island, after we put power at their island, we're standing under the light that we, you know, the solar was working and there was light there. They had never had that before. Whole island there, we're able to share the gospel. Now two of them have churches started in those outer islands. So just amazing how God used, of all things, solar to bring people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, maybe that's enough.
But, no. So now let me ask you this.
Okay.
How did you get there?
How do you get there
okay. From here?
All right. It's a long flight. And so usually I fly GSP to Newark to Tokyo, which that one's a 14-hour flight. Tokyo to Guam, that's about 3.5-4 hours. And then Guam to Yap. So it's a lot of hours, a lot of traveling. Usually it's about 24 to 27 hours from the time you get on the flight till the time you're actually landing in Yap.
And how far is Yap from a large landmass, if you had to?
So if you go to the center of Australia and go straight north, the first landmass you come to, large landmass, is Papua New Guinea. And then right straight above, due north of the center of Australia, straight up, you'll find about 9 degrees north of the equator is the island. Yeah, that's where it is.
So this equipment that you're taking out there, the backhoe, I saw a cement mixer.
All of that we had to bring, yes.
There's no parts store.
No.
If any of that goes down, correct?
No.
Okay, so you pretty much have to make ends meet with what you have.
We have to make it work, exactly, yeah. And so, that's just what it is, yeah. It's so we mixed all that cement. That building is 18,000 square feet solid cement. And the Lord has provided it. It's just amazing how, from start to finish, this thing is coming together. Once we started the school, I will say this. So you say, how do you fund this school? You know, because I raise support as a missionary, but that doesn't touch the cost of the school. So after, in 2020, I think it was 2013, people started writing me because, you know, we were saying stuff about the solar that we were doing out there. You know, they were reading our letters, and they said, hey, I want to put solar at my house. Would you be interested to, when you're back next time, would you put solar at my house? And I was like, yeah, I will. You know, you just, you know, if you can help us with the school project out here. So that's how we just started making, like when I make a trip, I would, you know, have the materials ready and install the solar and then come back, go fly back to Yap and continue things. But that's how we've been able to keep building buildings and funding everything, keep the teachers paid, all of those things. So okay. We have 137 students this year, 14 staff, and
meeting at the church in little small buildings.
We're meeting at the church in small buildings now. Once we're able to, we're going to move to the big building, hopefully next year, and we can have, instead of 137, we can go up to 400 students in the new building. And actually, just when was that, 2 days ago? One of the teachers was talking to Sherry or someone and said two of his students got saved just a couple days ago. So many of those kids, and that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Those kids, so when we started the school, man, how much do I even say? Well, okay, Sherry has to say something.
Is this
something.
A public school?
No.
That started? Okay.
No.
So it's a private school.
It's a private school.
Yeah. Okay.
One
okay.
little thing. So from a mother's heart, the culture there is very ungodly. It's a very dark culture, black magic, all that. It's covered, glossed over with Catholicism that merges with, it often synchronizes.
Yeah.
But they are required to dance, to do these local dances. And I hope nobody's recording this because a lot
online.
Of things.
Oh,
it is?
It is online.
Oh, okay.
But be careful what you say.
Yeah. But anyways, so we wanted to give children an option that did not require an ungodly activity.
Immodest.
Yeah, very immodest. And actually, we were homeschooling our 6 children, and 2 jumped into our lives, and we started homeschooling them. And so our homeschool just exploded into this school. And that's how it started.
Yeah, we didn't just one day say, hey, let's start a school.
Yeah. I was language major. He was electronics. We were not thinking education.
One of the girls at the public, she was an eighth. She would have been an eighth grader. They're required to dance. It's immodest. There's a lot of problems with it. Anyway, so she would have been required to do that, and she was in our church, and she said she was not going to dance, which means she's going to be expelled from school. So we ended up providing a safety net for her, and then there was other kids that dropped out of school because they were maybe a low class or low caste in the system. There's a 7-layer or 5-layer caste system in Yap. So some of them dropped out of school because they get beat up or abused in one way or another at school. So they ended up joining us, and the next thing you know, we have this school. And when I went to charter it, I went to the government. I said, look, I'm not looking to be competition for any of the public schools or anything else. We want the kids that either for one reason or other, they dropped out of school, or they've been expelled so many times, no school will take them, or they're having grade problems or behavioral problems. We'll take the kids that no school will take. And it's been amazing to see how these kids, they respond when they, when Sherry talked, like, let's say some kid is expelled and there's no school's going to take them, and they come over, the parents begging us, will you let us take your kid, take our kid. She'll be talking to them, and when they understand the forgiveness that God, because the culture is, you never forgive. And when they understand the forgiveness that God gives, it's just overwhelming. They'll just start crying. But I got to tell you the success story. The last year we graduated 18 seniors, and 16 are in colleges in different places, either in Guam, on College of Micronesia. There's some in Hawaii. There's some here in the U.S., different places. So it just amazing. And those are kids one of the kids was getting dropped off by the police because he was in jail. And he was dropped. They'd drop him off and pick him up after school. We said, we'll take you, but if there's any problems, and no school is going to take this kid. So, but he walked the chalk, and he did it, and he graduated. But it's just amazing to see how these kids can respond to some love. Then once they hear and understand the love of Christ and the salvation and forgiveness of sin, they just blossom. They blossom. And so we had 17 out of the 18 last year graduates passed the college entrance test, which no school has that in Yap, has that kind of record. No school comes out with that many that actually passed the test. So just amazing that God's taking these kids that would have been like, just they'd be village kids that are just causing trouble, and now they're wow. Part of our school, and we give them hope, we give them a future, we teach them about the Lord. And really, the God factor of it, Jesus Christ is the one that gives the hope. That's what, once they meet Christ, it changes everything.
Yes. Yeah. How big is the island?
8 miles wide, 16 miles long.
8 by 16. Mm-hmm. How many people live on this island?
About 7,800, 8,000, somewhere there. There's a total of 12,000. The parents send their kids to the main island for school, so I don't know exactly how many are. A lot of it's kind of
so there's a lot of smaller islands.
Yeah, a lot of outer islands, and they'll send their kids to.
How far away are these islands?
700 miles is the farthest one. Sotawal is the farthest island away of the outer islands of Yap, and it's 700 miles.
So then, when they're sending their kids is by ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to stay for the entire school year?
Yep.
Where do they house them?
It's tough. So they'll be farmed out to a family member, to somebody else, some kind of a sponsor. The abuse is unbelievable. It's probably, you wouldn't believe it. It's, I would say probably nearly 100% for the women, for the girls. Yeah, it's terrible. So, yeah.
That's sad. Well, very interesting. This is very interesting, and it's been a pleasure to meet Paul and his wife Sherry, and it's a privilege to have them there. And all this is what I now life for them has changed since COVID. Since COVID, there's been a slight adjustment in that they have They had to come back, I would assume.
So Sherry came back to be with her parents. Okay. We had planned to be back anyway in May for my son's graduation from Bob Jones. And so she had left a little bit early because her parents were both having some health issues, not COVID, but health issues. So she left early, and then they locked down the island. So me, Sarah, and Clara, my two younger daughters, were locked in for 10 weeks. We were locked in, and she was locked out. And they didn't open the island until just last August. Almost 2.5 years they were locked. So the island was just locked. But our school kept running, so while I've been in America, I sent all of my support to run the school, and solar's been growing, and people, you know, like I said before about coming back and forth every now and then and installing, people talk to their friends, and then soon we were installing, you know, a lot. So I was able to keep funding the school, keep everybody paid, keep the lights on, and continue the building project with doing solar in America. So what that's going to look like going forward, I don't know. The other thing is they're requiring a vaccine. So Sherry's got the first one, and at some point she'll probably get the other one maybe, and then we'll be able to go back in maybe January. So, So there's a lot of unknowns yet, so we're just praying about exactly what this is going to look like. Mm. All our kids are either out of college now or the last two are in college. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's going to be trips, or do the solar, keep the school. Because really, before COVID, we had the half the year was funded. I applied for aid to non-public schools from the FSM government. And they gave us aid to non-public schools. But I had already always said, if they ever, you know, if the aid gets in the way of, you know, something that we feel is right, then we're going to say no to the aid. Well, that would cover half the year. So once the vaccine things started coming, they were requiring us to vaccinate the teachers and students, and I said no. So they said no funding. So we're sitting with no funding that which would fund half the year. But the solar has covered all of that. So installing solar on this side. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to quit. But let me just add this, and thank you for being here and for sharing your heart. The one thing I do see, and that is what I wanted, as the Spirit is leading and all this stuff from the very beginning, when I first heard from Buddy that y'all were going to be here, I wanted us to see a total different aspect of mission ministry. And you saw that this morning. And you saw it even to the point of, well, by cracky, if I got to go take jobs and do this in order to fund it, that's what we're going to do. That's how focused and purposed these folks are. Buddy, as I understand it, and the rumor has it, he won't, anything that is given towards his trip, he always sends it to the school. And I don't know if you wanted that known, but I just blew it, all right? So I heard through the grapevine, he won't accept it. He funds his own way to go. And any extra that's given, it goes to the school. And this is one of ours that's here on a Sunday, comes and here for most services, and workaday kind of a guy. He would tell you he's not that eloquent of a speaker when he gets up, or a talker. Now he can talk your leg off, but but as far as presenting, you know, a message or preaching the gospel, that's not his wheelhouse. But there are some things that are his wheelhouse. And he has served God within that God has given him the ability to do. And that is one thing that I wanted to see this morning. And I want you to know that whatever it is that God has given you the talent to do, wherever God has placed you, whatever job you have, that's not by accident that we're there. God gives us those things for a reason and a purpose. And they're taking their reason and their purpose, and they're working the stew out of it to get the gospel to folks in very crazy ways. These aren't traditional ways, and yet the gospel is still going out. And sometimes the government funds it. Hallelujah. You know, whatever. But thank the Lord for that, and I appreciate you all being here. Let's do this. Let's make a commitment to pray for these folks and to pray about what God would have us do. They've got some prayer cards that, and at this time, I mean, we're just now meeting them. We're just now getting to know the ministry, and we'll make sure.